morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. All right. Well, I didn't get my 30 miles in again this week. We're getting there, though. Next week it's going to happen. So I got close this week, but I didn't get all the way. And I'm still watching what I'm eating. Y'all still watching what you're eating? And what'd you say?
All the way down.
All the way down. I just got that. All the way down. I need to get with it, don't I? But, you know, it's really important that we be aware of that, you know, because there's so much going on, you know. We really got to connect and start eating better, being aware of that, and stay moving, you know, because that principle of atrophy sets in, you know. Atrophy means a wasting away and deterioration because of lack of use. And so we don't want that to happen, but that will happen if we don't keep these things moving, right? Remember, we end up with booty do, won't we? For those of you who don't know, that means booty do is when your belly sticks out farther than your booty do. But wait a minute. My neighbors are here. Where are they at? There they are in the back row. Look at them. On the back row. That's my neighbors. I've been neighbors with them for 19 years. Isn't that incredible? And Kyle there, he mows my grass. I'm telling you, he does an awesome job. And his sister Brittany is getting ready to go to Lee College. She's graduating from Troy Christian. And I just love their family, you know. I can go over there anytime and get anything I need anytime and not even think one thing about it. You know, isn't that cool to have? And now I didn't say it. Now, Eddie's the dad over there. Now, he thinks he's got some guns. He ain't got nothing. You know, he comes across the yard, and, you know, he's always messing with me, trying to show off in front of his son, you know, like he's got something. But, you know, we know he don't have nothing. See, now we fixed you up, didn't we, Eddie? And he's got his mom with him there. His mom just moved up here to Sydney. All right. And Patty's a nurse there. She's been done missionary work. They're an awesome family. I'm glad to know them. You know what? I hope I didn't embarrass you, but you'll just have to get over it. I just love you guys. I really do. I mean, I can feel love from them, you know? No matter what, they love you and support you, and it's healthy to have neighbors like that. It really is. All right, let's look at this. Where were we? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about authority. Honoring authority, right? That's what we're going to talk about today. Last week, what did we talk about? We talked about the word honor, and remember we talked, what's the number one reason why young people don't want to come to church? Hypocrisy, right? Remember, what's that mean? It means to conceal one's true motives and what? Desires. To conceal one's true motives and desires. That's hypocrisy. That's the number one reason why young people don't come to church. And so we want to be people who are real and genuine. Remember, Jesus said, these people worship me with their lips and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are what? Far from me. And we don't want to be in that group, do we? We want to really honor God, and the word honor comes from our heart, doesn't it? Where does it come from? Our heart. Proverbs what? 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? What's fear mean? Honor and respect. Remember, we talked about respect a couple weeks ago. Respect. So respect and honor are a derivation of the fear of the Lord. Of the fear of the Lord. So respect, remember, when we are really being relational, and you'll never fulfill God's plan on and purpose in your life without being connected to people. So we have to be relational. And respect is what we have to do towards people if we're going to be in relationship with them. Remember, respect. The prefix R-E is back to. Spect is spectacles, to look back to. If we're going to be in relationship with a person, we're going to have to keep looking to that person and looking to that person and really listening to them. And then when you listen to them, you communicate with them. And when you communicate with them, you're relating. And when you're relating, you're being what? Relational. And when you're relational, now you understand. You see, that's what the enemy wants. He wants to keep you from understanding people and understanding God. So he will create so much havoc in your life to try to keep you. So it's up to who to be doing the respect? Us, right? Because it comes from us. And when we respect, well, you have to earn my respect. And it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Respect is that's a command to fear the Lord. It comes from that. It's not based on how godly you are or what kind of person you are if you're going to respect and honor somebody. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17, honor how many people? All people. All people. And so we're going to look at that today. And remember, we've been teaching on reconciliation. Remember the prefix, back to? Back to before what? The fall from grace. Before Adam and Eve fell from grace, we want to create an environment. The body of Christ is an environment that is a place of grace. Because before Adam and Eve fell from grace, there was never any judgmentalism, never any criticism, and never any condemning thoughts or speech. So when we judge and criticize and condemn others, we haven't got it yet. You see that? And so that's, honor doesn't do that. Honor puts that person in the right place. And when you honor that person, now you're in a position to receive from God. You see? And that's what we are. The church is a place of grace. Remember, Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. So it says this is so important. In Ephesians 2:7, it says we're saved by grace. Well, the grace from God, the grace just doesn't come from God. It comes from all of us as well. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says we're to extend the grace which was given to us to one another. Everybody coming in, you're to give grace to. You see that? That's how people are saved, truly. You see, people that are struggling with addictions and different behavioral patterns, we need to give them grace and extend grace to them and truth, and they're going to want to be here. Not point the finger and say, why did you do this and why did you do that? That's why I always say, if you were out drunk last night, you're in the right place. If you were out prostituting last night, hey, come on in. You're in the right place. We got some grace for you. Are you with me? And that doesn't mean it's a license to do wrong. That means you're going to get in a place where you can truly be saved, right? Remember what saved mean? It means what? What's it mean? Anybody remember? To be made whole from many scattered parts. And that's what we all are looking for. We need to be made whole. Whole means healthy and whole. And that takes place in an environment where people understand grace and people understand truth. Am I making sense? So that's the church. That's the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. Not to point the finger and criticize and judge. Who are we, right? And again, it's not a license to do wrong, but it's a place of health and wholeness. That's the body of Christ. So that's what we're moving in. And that's where God is moving. I'll tell you what, he's not moving in a place where people are pointing their finger. And you hear what I'm saying? It's just, all right. Go with me to 1 Timothy 6:1. We're looking at authority. Everybody say authority. I know my recap was a little long, but I like to lay that foundation. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all, what?
Honor.
So that the name of God and his doctrine may not be what? Blasphemed. You may be seated. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of this day. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. We thank you for everyone here today, Lord. Lord, we ask that you help us to prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word today. Lord, that none of us will remain the same because we've been in your presence. It's only in your presence is where we are changed. You said in your presence is the fullness of joy and that you will show us the path of life. Reveal the path of life to us today, Lord, so we can be all that you called and created us to be. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. I went to, Friday night, I went and heard a minister from Africa. And he operates in the prophetic. And, you know, I've kind of always been a little, I mean, that's one of the fivefold ministry, right? We're, you know, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. It's all in there for the what? The equipping of the saints. So I went and I heard this guy. And there was probably 600-700 people there. And, you know, he did a great, I mean, I could tell he was, God was on him. And you know what he was saying? That we need to be praying more. I mean, that was his message. We're not praying enough. It's difficult to pray. We need to pray for our spouses. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for each other. And we're going to have to fight in prayer. God's will isn't just going to fall on you, right? Life is not fair. If you're going to get life, you're going to have to fight for it. Am I making sense? Prayer. He said, you're going to have to pray. So you know what he did? He had everybody pray after he ministered. And he had us all praying. The whole church was praying. We were praying for 10, 15 minutes. Everybody's praying. And I'm standing there praying. I'm standing there praying, minding my own business. And you know, it'd get down, and then he would say, come on! And then everybody start praying out loud again. And they get down, and I'm standing there praying, and he comes up to me, and he says, it's all over you. And I had my eyes closed, and I looked up, and there he was. He says, it's all over you. And I said, what? He says, it's all over you. And then he started to touch me. He didn't even touch me. I went down. I mean, on the ground. I mean, and my feet started shaking. I mean, I'm a person, I got to be in control. You know what? I always thought this was fake, and I've seen the fake and the phony. You understand? I've been in places where it's not real. I mean, I've been in places they laid a hand on. Everybody else fell, but not me. You know, that might not have been fake, but you understand what I'm saying. I've seen the fake. This was real. And I went down. I bet I was laid there for 15 minutes. Just numb. Can I tell you everything that's going on? No. But I'll tell you what, it was sweet. It was sweet. And God was doing something. Am I making sense? And you know what? God is moving. God is moving. We have to be open to things, don't we? We really do. Because I'll tell you what, I used to be such a skeptic. Because I've seen that fake and phony. Now, we're going to talk about authority today. That guy had authority on him. We're going to talk about authority today. And there's how many categories of authority? There's four categories of authority that the Bible speaks of. Civil authorities. Who would that be? Number one would be civil authorities. Who would that be? That would be our president. That would be the governor. That would be the mayor. You know, policemen, firemen. That's your civil authorities. You know, I'm going to challenge you guys. Walk into the police station this week. Stop and walk in and get you a sucker or something. Say hello. When you walk in, you know what? Check yourself. See if something doesn't change inside. You know what? That's because you are created to respect and honor authority. Walk into the courthouse. Just walk into the courthouse. Something inside you will a lift up inside of you. That's because you're created to respect and honor authority. Civil authorities. President, whatever. Police, right? Social authorities. Who would that be? That would be your ball coach, your teachers, your bosses, your employers. That is our civil authorities. We're going to talk about, no, that is our social authorities. We're going to talk about social authorities today. And then there's domestic authorities. Domestic authorities would be what? Parents. Parents and the husband in the head of the wife. But now listen, this is God's created authority and order. It's not that the husband is greater than the wife. They're equal. They're equal. It's just he established authority. And the kingdom of God is all about authority. See, we have this democratic mindset as we live in the Western, this West Midwest, we have this democratic mindset. Demo means man. Kratic means ruled. It's man ruled. God's kingdom is a theocracy. Theo means God. Krasi means ruled. It's God ruled. His way is so much different than our way. And that's what we got to grow and understand, authority. And like I said, when a wife will submit to her husband in the Lord, not if he's telling her to do wrong or watch pornography and all that. No. If he's in the Lord, then she has to come under that authority. And life will go better for her. You hear what I'm saying? And her whole family would be blessed because of it. But if she's always resisting that authority, it's going to affect her kids. It's going to affect her grandkids. It's going to affect her life. And I'm going to tell you what, they can't be blessed because they don't understand authority. Folks, we have an authority problem in our society today. Am I making sense? It's a lack of respect and honor. Honor and respect is a derivation of the fear of the Lord. When you don't respect someone and you don't honor them, it is a display of you not lacking and lacking in the fear of the Lord. You see that? But when you fear God, you're automatically going to respect and honor that person and their position. Am I making sense? Folks, listen. This is so big because this is what's less than 4% of our young people of the generation today knows anything about the Bible. Anything. Last couple weeks ago, we had a guy from YWAM in here. He was a missionary sent from England to here to evangelize America. The brother from Africa said America's always talked about that they need people to come over here and preach the gospel. You see this? America's in trouble. And I'm telling you, authority is one of the big reasons. Well, you know, sometimes I used to struggle here about preaching on authority. I'm not struggling no more. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Look at your neighbor and say, get you some. You see, if you're not under authority, you'll never have any authority. Do you see this? Now, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is social authorities. This is what we're talking about, and this is what he's relating to. Let as many as are servants, or bondservants, as are under the yoke, count their masters, their coaches, their teachers, their bosses, worthy of all what? Honor. What's honor mean? Remember what the word honor means? A valuing, appreciation, to esteem, favorable regard, to respect. That's what the word honor means. In of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. You know what? They took prayer out of schools and the Ten Commandments out of schools, I think this is the reason why. I think it's our lack of honoring our teachers. And really, because listen, folks, if we would have been honoring and really operating in this, they would have never taken them out. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear it? They would have never allowed it to be removed. It's because of our lacking in this understanding of this in this area. See, that's what we're doing. We're bringing understanding. We're maturing. We're growing. Remember, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I understand as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. God is calling us to mature in our understanding. Remember, understanding. In Proverbs 4:7 says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 2:9-10 says, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. You see, when you understand authority, it will deliver you from the evil way. When you understand God's way, it delivers you from the evil way. Folks, listen, if we would have been honored, you know what, movie theaters, if you go to a movie these days, the top movies, they use honor, they use respect, and they'll use loyalty in their movie to hook you. That's what moves you emotionally. I find myself when I go to a movie, I'll be weeping, and it's like, they're just showing me honor. You know why? Because it's lacking in our society. It's lacking, and that's why it's such a big thing when you see, oh, that movie was the best movie, because it showed a little bit of honor. It showed a little bit of respect. It showed somebody being true and loyal. Come on, am I making sense? And that's what's selling movies. That's what's really selling movies. Folks, we got to understand this word honor. Now think about this. In same scripture, but amplified version, and we're going to look at the latter part. So that the name of God and the teachings about him may not be brought into disrepute and blasphemed. That's the amplified version. Now listen to what the word disrepute means. The state of being held in low esteem by the public. The state in being low esteem by the public. You see that? By the public. The public is holding, because we're not honoring people, and they hold what we in low esteem. Our God and our doctrine in low esteem. Because we're not honoring our social authorities. Think about this. I remember when I was a kid playing baseball. And, I grew up in a dysfunction junction, you know. And my mom wasn't home. You know, I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying it just wasn't there. And so I would go to my baseball games, and my baseball pants would be all grass stained and, you know, wrinkled, all like they'd never been ironed, you know. And I'd show up, and my coach, he would just say, you know, man, you need to do something with this. And one time he got mad at me because I was talking back to him. He got mad and he got in my face. He said, listen to me, Freddie. He called me Freddie. He goes, you got gifts in you. He goes, I want you to do something. I said, what? He goes, I want you to tell your dad to go get a tire, an old tire. He goes, I want you to hang that tire on the fence. And he goes, I want you to throw that baseball in that tire every day. And I thought, well, you know what? I liked the way he got down in my face and talked to me. He was really treating me with respect. He was really caring for me. You see what I mean? And so, you know what? I went home, I told my dad. My coach said to go, well, he wouldn't do it. And finally, I bugged him and bugged him and bugged him, and he went and got this tire. Well, the coach said, if your dad won't get it, I'll go get it. Well, finally, he went and got it. We went to the junkyard, and he found an old tire. We hung it on the back of the fence. I get out there every day. Man, I'd be pitching into that tire. I got as many balls as I could find so I wouldn't have to keep running back and forth, but, you know. And so one day I showed up at the game and I was pitching to one of the coach's assistants. Coach's assistant said, man, you need to let him preach. I'm pitching right now, aren't I? Oh. But now he said, you need to let him pitch. And so I pitched. And I pitched a no-hitter. Nobody else did that the whole year. And, you know, and I remember the coach said, if anybody ever pitches a no-hitter, I'm going to take them to Flint's. Flint's was a restaurant back then. He said, I'm taking them to Flint's, and we're all going to get French fries, hamburgers, and Cokes, and I'm buying. I said, hey, coach, remember what you said? He looked in his wallet. He says, we're going to have to wait till payday. So when payday came, he got the whole team, and we all went to Flint's and had hamburgers and stuff because of me pitching it. But here's my point. I was very rebellious, but something triggered in me to start listening to him and looking at him as an authority position. And you know what? I could have been a good baseball player, but I lost it again. I went back to the negative. You understand? And I'm just saying, I'm just trying to show you, when we will honor authority, you are the one that starts to benefit from it. You see that? It's not because they're godly. It's not because they're godly. The Bible says in Romans 13, all authority has been established by who? By God. Not because they're godly. Now let me show you this. In Daniel chapter 3, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Now write this verse down if you're right. We could go there, but for the sake of time, I'm going to just have you look it up later. Jeremiah 43:10 says this, that God placed Nebuchadnezzar in the position of authority and set him there. Okay? God put him there. Who put him there? God put him there. Nebuchadnezzar was raising up idol gods and idol worship. And he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't worship my God, my golden calf, my image, right? Then I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And what did they say? They said, this is what they said. They said, O king. That phrase, O king, you know what it means? It means your majesty. Your majesty. We can't do that, and our God will deliver us. But I'm paraphrasing now. If he, and even if he doesn't deliver us, we won't bow. Well, he cranked that thing up 7 times, hotter than it had ever been cranked up. Threw them into the fire. Not a hair on their head was burned. Every bondage, every chain was broken off of them, burned off. And they looked in there and they said, it looks like the Son of God is in there. Jesus was in there with them. Now, catch this. They came out. They didn't even smell like smoke. Didn't even smell like smoke. Now, in verse 30 of Daniel 3, it says this. Nebuchadnezzar promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as rulers in the city. They were promoted into rulership over the city. And all the city came to them. Why? Because, remember, they said, Your Majesty. They honored the position of authority. You see that? Not because he did everything right and because he was godly. The position. They got promoted. And that's the way it works in our life. We don't honor our bosses and their teachers because they're godly. We do it because of their position. This is a kingdom. This is a different way. This is not a democratic mindset. Am I making sense? So that's why it's so important that we understand this. Because when we begin to understand this, it's going to make life more pleasant for us. And then when we can come under authority, then now we will have some authority. And you know what? We're going to need authority in the days ahead. I'm here to tell you, we are going to need some authority in the days ahead. Big time. And if you're not willing to be under authority, then you're never going to have authority. And that's why I'm talking about this. That's why we're in this series on authority. Now think about this. Okay. This is the Amplified Bible on Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. This is what it says. Tell bondservants to be submissive to their masters, to their teachers, to their coaches, to their bosses. That's what he's talking about here. To be pleasing and give satisfaction in every way. Warn them not to talk back or contradict, nor to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and due credit to the teaching which is from and about our God and Savior. You see that? By honoring those folks, you are giving credit and you are giving glory to the teaching and the understanding of the what we're trying to live. More people are going to want what you have when you operate in honoring your bosses, your teachers, and the people in authority. It's just the way it is. It's just how it is. Now think about this. It says you'll be an ornament. This is what the word ornament means. Somebody whose presence is a source of honor. When you show up, your presence is a source of honor. Because you're so different, the way you treat the boss, the way you treat your wife and your husband, you're so different. Folks, listen. Your presence brings honor to the room. Am I making sense? And that is a derivative of the fear of the Lord. When we don't honor them, it's our lack of the fear of God. Well, you have to earn my respect. That comes from us. We have to honor them and respect them because God has commanded it. Amen? Now think about this. In the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, this is what it says. Slaves, obey your earthly masters, your teachers, your coaches, Teachers, coaches, bosses, employers. Now watch this. With deep respect and fear, serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. In other words, you're to treat them like you would treat Christ. Do you see this? You're to treat those who are in authority over you like you would treat Christ. Why? Because they're godly? No, because God says so. Do you see this? Do you see this? This is a kingdom. We're advancing God's kingdom. Remember? Kingdom. Kingdom. Dumb. D-O-M. Dominion. Where the king rules, that's where the kingdom is. Jesus is the king. When we submit to that, he's in charge. It looks like the boss is in charge, but I'm here to tell you, he's in charge. Am I making sense? Okay, think about this. All right. As you would serve Christ, and this is what it says, New Living Translation, Ephesians 6, 5, and 8. Work hard, but not just to please your masters when they are watching as slaves of Christ. Do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of you and each of us for the good that you do. God is a rewarder. And when you honor somebody, he's going to bring rewards into your life. Because honor is a heart attitude. It's not what you do, and it's not what you say. It truly comes from your heart. When you honor somebody, it really comes from your heart. Remember, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. When you truly honor somebody, it comes from your heart. Now think about this. We want to get from being slaves to becoming servants. A slave does the minimum. A slave is looking at their watch, and at 5 o'clock, they're out the door. That's a slave mentality. At 5 o'clock, they're out the door. A servant does the maximum potential. They're willing to stay over a few minutes to make sure the job is done and done well. And they're not looking at their watch every 5 minutes. They're too concerned with doing the job right. A slave says, I am not paid enough. A servant wants to give. A servant never complains that they're not paid enough. They can't give enough and do their best for the job. Who's in charge? God is in charge, right? Hallelujah, amen. God's in charge. He will raise you up. You see this? When you understand these principles, He will elevate you. He will bring the power and the peace into your home when you operate in these principles. Look at this. Servant, not a slave, but a servant looks for opportunities rather than waits for orders. A true servant is busy, not waiting for the boss to come tell him what to do. A true servant is busy doing their job and taking care of business. Now, you know that would change people's attitudes about what we believe if we operated in this. Am I making sense? This is giving honor to those who are in authority over you. Now, watch this. Servants act. Slaves react. Here's what happens when you will do this. Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. You see, it takes mercy. It takes you really having compassion in your heart. And you can't do that if you're not in relationship with God, to live a life of a servant, to really obey and come under that authority. Am I making sense? It's all connected to the fear of the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're going to look at domestic authorities. And we're going to look at verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Everybody say honor. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You see that? Honor your father and mother because they are good church-going Christians. Is that right? There's truth in what you said. Honor your father and mother. Why? Because they're good Christians. Is that what it says? Huh? Because they're your parents. Because God says to honor them. Well, you don't know how my dad treated me. I've heard these people come in my office. Well, my dad sexually abused me. Honor him. Who put him in that position? Huh? Honor them. That's what God says. Honor your father and mother. Well, you don't know what my mother did and how she treated me. She left. She took off and I haven't heard from her. Honor her. If you never see her or talk to her, honor her with what you say. It's for your benefit. And if you can get a hold of her, you need to get a hold of her. You can get a hold of her today. You make sure you get a hold of her. And let her know you love her. Honor your father and your mother. This is the commandment with a promise. What? That it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. If things aren't going well with you, how are you treating your parents? How do you view your parents? If you view them as that all your problems are because of them, that's your problem. We need to grow in our understanding of honor and respect towards our parents. Am I making sense? Young people, middle-aged people, old people, elderly people. I'm getting old, man. I was 52 this week. But honor your parents. It's going to help you in life. You see this? I've heard so many people say negative things about their parents. If they understood this principle, they would never, never let that come out of their mouth. You see this? Because it's affecting them. It could be the very reason why you're not getting a lot of what God says you can have. He can't bless you when you don't honor what he says. Think about this. All right. In John chapter 4, 14, verse 21, go with me there. We're almost done. Got another hour or so. John 14, 1. Isn't this important? You know, I was at the mall the other day, and I heard this young person just ripping their parent apart. And I said to myself, that kid will be in prison. That kid's going to prison if he don't change his ways. I'm telling you, you can't just treat your parents like how you want to. I hope you're feeling the weight of this. This is what's wrong in America. This is one of the big things right here. Now think about this. What's it say? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You see, when you keep the commandments of God, it's showing your love. It's displaying your love for him. Remember we said in Romans chapter 12, last week, 9, let love be without hypocrisy. When you keep the commandments of God, there's no hypocrisy in your love. It's not fake and phony. Now look at this. It's so important. In 1 John 2:4, it says this. He who says, I know him, Jesus, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And the truth is not in him. You see, it is God's command that we keep his commandments in this honoring our parents. Now, in Leviticus, remember what's honor mean? Honor means to treat as valuable, as to keep as a high regard, to respect. To dishonor, what's that mean? That means to treat as common, to treat as ordinary, and to treat something as menial. That's dishonor. Now think about this. In Leviticus 19:3, it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. The word revere means to regard someone with admiration and deep respect. And deep respect. Okay. How many times do we see people roll their eyes, speak negative, stomp their feet away from their parents? Because their parents are trying to get them to do something. That is a lack of honor and a lack of respect towards that parent. And you know what, folks? You're bringing stuff on yourself by acting that way. I hope we're feeling the weight of this. Now watch this. Go with me to Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Cursed, Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. The word contempt means dishonor. What's dishonor mean? To treat as common, to treat as ordinary, to treat as being menial. You see that? That means to dishonor that parent. He says you're under a curse. He says you're cursed. The word cursed means cut off from the covenant blessing. In other words, God wants to bless you in the covenant, the promise. But he can't because you are lacking in this area of honor. Am I making sense? Come on. How we treat our parents has a whole lot to do with the way our lives go. Are you getting this morning? All right. This is what the Amplified Version says. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say amen. You're under a curse when you dishonor your parent. Now watch this. This is what the Message says. God's curse is on anyone who demeans their parent. God's curse is on anyone who demeans their parent. The word demean means to reduce someone to a lower status, to undervalue and not respect. To reduce someone to a lower status, to undervalue and not respect. That's what the word demean means. When you demean your parents, you're dishonoring them. God's curse is on you. Do you feel the weight of this today? I tell you what, we have to grow in our understanding of authority. We have to grow in this understanding. Because, folks, a lot of our struggles and difficulties are because we don't understand the position of authority. I tell you, it says in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. How many people?
All.
I want the music folks to come up here. We're out of time, but I know you're glad you came to church this morning. I hope you're glad you came to church this morning.